place tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his name tonight. Praise his name. I was just reading and Brother Brandon preached letting off the pressure, and he talked about the old eagle, how he'd get all filmed over and get all down and out. He said, but a day come over and he's got to go find that rock because he's got this matter over his eyes. He can't see what he's doing, but if he can find the rock and start bashing his head into it and getting all that broke off, he can see again. And he's got to do it because he's got to live. And if I can't get it off, I'm going to die. But it comes off, and all of a sudden the joy begins to come back into his life. He's like, I'm going to be able to fly again. And Brother Brandon was talking about when you get away from the Lord, you know, you get all stressed out. But if you can just come back and find yourself in Christ, you can let off the pressure. Amen. It's going to be all right. What am I afraid of? I've got the Lord on my side. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank for being able to let off the pressure, you know. Even as preachers, you know, we're just like humans, like anyone else. Sometimes we got to get back into Christ and let off the pressure and try not to overcome on your own. God never called you to. He's the overcomer. That's right. But he is here. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. That's right. Don't bring any excuses. Bring your God before it. And watch the devil tremble and leave and cry out of this place. Amen. Appreciate you. You all might think you got a new suit. It's just been a while since I wore this, because I tore it open. Sister Violet fixed it for me, so praise the Lord for that. I got my suit back again. Tried to wait on my wife, but she said, I'll just let Sister Violet do it. So that's what happened there. Remember this Sunday, before you got your excuse, time changes. Yep. All right? So you're getting here an hour earlier, because 10 o'clock, normal time, well, actually, it's not normal time. We're going back to normal time. 10 o'clock right now is going to be 11. Yep. 11 o'clock right now is going to be 12. So you get here at 12 o'clock, you're here at 1. I'm probably wrapping up my sermon by then. So this is the other one I'm not too concerned with. You get here an hour early, that's all right. You can pray for another hour. I don't mind that. But this, you're going to kind of miss the service. So let's try to remember that, be on time. I'm not preaching this Sunday. Brother Alexander will be preaching for us. That's the only service I'm not preaching in May, March. You said June, didn't you? What did you say? You said March? I heard June, but my hearing's gone. You all hear June? No, I guess just me. That's all right. But we do not this Saturday, but next Saturday we'll have prayer. And then after that week, I'll be on spring break and I can recuperate. So praise the Lord for that. I know you all ain't thinking about that, but Brother Andrew is. So. Counting down the days almost. Remember on the, if you go out there, and Sister Carolyn's going to be working triple time on spring break week. That's right. She's going to have all kinds of kids over there. But you know, praise the Lord that she can have an influence on so many lives, you know.
That's right.
And that's the one joy I have as a teacher that keeps you going in this day.
That's right.
Is saying, Lord, you know, at least I can be a help or a witness. Whatever magnitude you allow me to these young people. So. Brother Ernie, I just got an email back from him. Go read it. There's a lot of needs in there and stuff. We've been able to help him out a few times this month, and just keep him in prayer there in the Philippines. Really appreciate our brother. I've heard, I know some people that know of him, but I haven't really met anybody that knows him directly. And I talked to one brother who goes to the Philippines a lot. I hope this is okay. I just want to make sure I don't forget these things. Brother goes to the Philippines quite often. And I sent him the address that that Brother Ernie gave us, and he said that's a part of the Philippines that he don't even go to. He said he's not real familiar with that area, and a lot of people aren't. So he's really, like, even for the Philippine standards, he's out in the remote places. So I thank God for a man that stands for the Word out there. So praise the Lord for that. I think that's everything. So let's get our Bibles open tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Still speaking on the mysteries of the kingdom. How many's been enjoying this? Amen. I love delving into what God has given to us in this last day. He's opened up all these things to us so we'd have a rock foundation. Well, the devil can't shake us off of it. the devil's been allowed to go loose and bring millions and millions of devils all over the place, but God sent His word before the devil got there and it kept us away from the evil. That's right. Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the day, but keep them from the evil. And God has answered that prayer. Hallelujah. So Matthew 18, and then we'll be turning over to Luke 22. Matthew chapter 18, first verse. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, a cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I'd like to speak on tonight. If you know some of the quotes, you might know where I'm going with this, but the mysterious conversion without sensation. The mysterious conversion without sensation. So let's bow our heads before the Lord tonight as we approach His Word. Do you have a need on your heart you'd like to lift up to Him? And say, Lord, You know what's behind this hand, and You're the only one that can help me. Amen. Hands all over. Let's pray with all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for gathering us again tonight, Lord. Thank You for putting a desire in our hearts to serve You, Lord. For without that, we'd still be out in the world. We'd still be living in darkness. We'd still be just like anyone else. But You put something in us, Lord, that would thirst after You, Father, and to go out of this dry desert that we were in until this artesian well that we have now, Lord. We're forever grateful for that, that You would come and reach down Your hand truly and take us from way down, Lord, and bring us up to Yourself. We so appreciate that tonight, seeing the world groping in darkness. But Lord, we have light in Goshen, and we come to bring thanksgiving and say, Lord, praise Your name for it, Lord, for without You, we'd still be out there. Thank You, Lord, for the light of the gospel. Thank You for the truth. And I pray, Lord, that it'll come again tonight, that You'll speak and the light will shine and expose all darkness in every Christian's life here. May the devil be defeated on every side, Lord, and may You be glorified in this service. You know the hearts of the people here, Lord, and I pray that You'll feed the eagles the food they need, and Lord, give them the desires of their heart they can leave, saying, knowing that they were in the presence of God tonight. Have Your way tonight. Let us leave Defiance, Ohio. Let us raise into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to where the devil don't know what to do with us. Grant it, Lord, tonight, we pray. We ask it in faith now. In the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Hallelujah. Now I'll get to the quote where I think some of you might know. I'm taking my text from here, but I like to start out right here in just the word conversion. You know, this is something that gets very miskewed in the Christian church, and message included. I've seen people teach all kinds of directions on what it really means to serve the Lord, what it really means to be converted. Am I really born again? Am I not born again? Do I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Do I not have it? If I do this, do I get it? If I don't do this, do I have it? What can I show the Lord that proves that I got it? And we've got all these thoughts. And it's confused many people many days because too many people look at man and try to get a man to tell them what they got to do or they got to not do to get saved or to know they got the Holy Ghost and everything else. Instead of going back to God, instead of going back to God's Word and finding the absolute that I know that I know that I know, and you can't talk me out of it because I met Him. Amen. You said you got the Holy Ghost? Yes, because I met Him. Amen. And He lives in my heart. That's right. There was a man one time trying to seek salvation. There was a man, and he came right to Jesus' face, asked Jesus, who was the right man, the right question, but he asked it in the wrong motive, a loaded question, Lord, what can I do to be saved? And the Lord said, keep the commandments. Don't kill, don't steal, honor your father and mother, and you know, so forth. And he said, I've done these from my youth. What do I lack? You lack revelation, son. You lack the truth behind what all that. You're just doing it out of religion. You're trying to earn salvation, and there's no way to earn your way back to God. That's why if there is, then Jesus wasted his time coming to earth and dying on the cross. Then God wasted his time opening his word to show you what he did on the cross. If you could do it in yourself, then Christ's death was completely in vain. His days of suffering, the prophecies for 4,000 years that he would come were a complete waste of time. God's entire redemption plan was thrown in the trash. Do you see how dangerous it is to add your works into God's work? What did we just read there, Dad, when he opened the Psalms? Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Our salvation is not our work. Our redemption is not our work. It was Christ's work.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Now Christ, when God does something though, as too many, they preach faith as fiction. Sure. They preach faith as intellectualism. That I say I believe something a certain way, so that's just the way it is because that's the way it is in my mind. But if you believe it slightly different, well, that's the truth for you. And then truth becomes relative, that your truth isn't the same as my truth. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you. That's not the way the Bible preaches it. Jesus said, I am the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, brother, we need to understand denominations. We need to understand these people, where they're coming from. And you know, open up our minds a little bit. Oh, glory. Well, that might work in a psychology book, but that ain't the way Jesus did it. How much more closed-minded can you get than I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one, no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. So that pushes our thoughts right out the window, don't it? If we don't do it the way he did, then it might feel like our truth, but that's not truth. Real truth is not the opposite of false. It is the only existing thing, truly, that is eternal. It's truth. All falsehood was a byproduct of sin that has come from truth, which will be done away with. God will burn every lick of falsehood that's ever hit this earth, and the only thing will be left is true converted souls.
Amen. That's right. That's true.
Hallelujah. Well, first, what does it mean to be converted? Well, let's go there. Let's go to John chapter 3. Now, let's not skip ahead to verse 16, as everyone wants to, and ignore the first 15 verses. Let's actually see what Jesus said before he said he sent his son to save the world. Now, let's just start at verse 1. I don't mind backdropping this a little bit here. John chapter 3 and verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I just got to stop right there. Brother, sister, God has witnessed this prophet up, down, left, and right around the world by things that no one has ever even come close to matching. I'll take every evangelist that's come from the revivals from the 30s and 40s. Let's lump them all together and get it even half what happened in the prophet's ministry. Look, Nicodemus had a revelation that many people don't have in this day. If we know you're a teacher come from God, for how do you raise the dead?
Uh-huh.
How do you call out sin? How do you know what people are thinking?
Right.
How do you know what people are hiding in their hearts?
That's right.
Hallelujah. No one could do these things unless God was with him.
Amen.
Right. Amen. And it's still true today. The devil can impersonate works. We understand that. But at the end of the day, there's certain things that just separate a real believer from a false one.
Amen.
That's right. There's certain things that separate a real prophet from a false one, because a real prophet hits on the word all the time.
Amen.
Amen. He's got his faults. He's got his failures. I understand that. But when the word comes, it hits right on the dot. Amen. Every time. You got to bail him, sure, he'll prophesy certain things here, and then all of a sudden he'll get himself involved, sell for a little bit of money, and all of a sudden we can change the word. Just like I had a Mormon kid, I'm just preaching tonight, praise the Lord. He came up to me, and I've tried to tell him, you know, I'm trying to respect what you believe, but I'm here to tell you I don't believe a lick of that stuff. And I'm not trying to make, I'm just going to preach what I believe, and, you know, it's the truth anyhow. And one time he came to me, and I said, you want to know one reason I don't believe Mormonism? I said, you probably don't even know this. The kid's he's a black kid. He identifies as being black. I'll just put it that way. He's probably mixed, but anyways, it doesn't matter. The point being, it was like, did you know the Book of Mormon says it's a curse to be black skinned? Dark skin. It was God's pronouncement. He said, to keep my people from sinning, I took the sinners and I gave them dark skin so we would know who the sinners were. Go, you can look it up. I'll show you the page. And I sat there and I'm like, it's like, have you ever wondered why there's not a whole lot of black Mormons? How do you just jump over that? Well, then he went and took that. And he's like, whoa, you're crazy. I'm like, I can't believe that. So he went and took it to his Mormon people. And they said, well, later on, God took the curse away. And, you know, and that's fine. I was like, well, then why are you still black? It didn't change the fact that the Book of Mormon said dark skin was a curse. It doesn't matter that God took it off. The point is, do you believe that? Well, no, then you're not a Mormon. And then he was telling me, he's like, well, I was meeting up with these other Mormons and, you know, some young man of some sort, but he was saying, you know, didn't Joseph Smith say, like that you couldn't have more than one wife anymore? I was like, well, I don't know about that, but I do know he said you could have 10 virgins. That's in the Book of Mormon. It's in there. And I said, well, he's like, well, you know, he changed that later. I was like, well, first off, that don't sound a lick like this Bible. I am God and I change not. Don't tell me the same person wrote the Bible, wrote the Book of Mormon. He's changed his mind all over the place here and he don't hear. It's not the same person.
Right.
But anyways, he kept saying, you know, well, he changed that later. Now, you know, and it's like, he's changed it so the people wouldn't be persecuted as bad. I was like, my goodness, you're way off the beaten trail now, because the Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. That's right. Jesus said, I don't say take them out of the world. I say let them stick out like sore thumbs and let everyone hate them. He said they'll kill you thinking they're doing God's service. Why would God change his word? Come on. To try to make it easier on his believers. What he purposely said, you're going to be persecuted. They're going to hate you. Why? Not because of you, but because I'm living in you and they hate me.
Right.
You're just wrong all over the place.
Amen.
Now, here's why. I can't tell you that Joe Smith didn't see an angel. Sure, he could have. But it definitely wasn't a real one. It was a lying one. Lying spirits. They look. We already went over that mystery of iniquity. They come. He said his ministers look like ministers of light. The devil himself looked like an angel of light. So don't tell me that couldn't happen to Joseph Smith. But we didn't need some man to go get some fancy glasses and look at some gold plates and interpret them to where we get this mess that they got in the Book of Mormon. I think we all know that, but the problem being is too many of us have the same principle with like our feelings, for instance.
Sure.
You know, the only reason I believe this is because I feel that way. Well, brother, sister, you need to take that and throw it up because it needs to become the Word said it.
Right.
Amen. I got the Holy Ghost because I got a witness that the Bible said I was supposed to have.
Amen.
Not what some other man said.
Yes,
not what I even think I was supposed to have, but what the Bible said I was supposed to have. What the word of the hour told me I'm supposed to have. That's why I've got confidence in my experience. I could tell you my personal conversion, but that's just an experience that I had. Had the life of God not followed that, I wouldn't have believed it.
Amen.
Right. Amen. All right, that was all free. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Which means he's not going to understand it. He's not going to get the revelation because only the Holy Ghost can lead you into revelation. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born where he is old? Look at this carnal mind. Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. You must. Can we emphasize that word? You must be born again.
Amen.
The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I'm just going to stop right there because this is enough to what Jesus is trying to tell us. He's telling us you've got to have a real conversion. He said, Peter, you've cast out devils. You've done mighty works. You know, you're following me. And I'll get to it later. I believe he was saved. But he wasn't converted yet. He still acted like a sinner. He still treated people like a sinner would. He still didn't have the life of Christ in him. And he became a big coward when the pressure came on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When a man's born again, you can't just put your finger on it and say, well, I had this sensation. I felt a rushing mighty wind. Well, sure, but I felt mighty winds when I was watching Free Willy, all right? So that don't mean nothing. Actually, that was a minister I'm quoting from. But you've had those times where something just really inspires you. And, you know, it kind of feels like when God really inspires you, because that's just a sensation.
Right.
I'm not saying, I'll get to that in a minute, man. I've got too many directions. I'm trying to keep it one way here. Look, the sensation, what's he saying there? He's saying right there, you cannot tell where it's going. It's just like the wind. Sure, where does wind come from? Where is it going? What's happening? Nobody knows. They've got their ideas, they've got their theories, but when it's all done, we don't know what wind is doing. But there's one thing we do know. We know the effect that wind has on things. So that's what I'm saying, brother, sister. I might not know where you got the Holy Ghost. I might not know what if it was in service, it was home in a bar door or wherever. But there's one thing I know. If the wind of the Holy Ghost ain't pushed sin out of your life yet,
come on.
I don't know where the sin, I don't know where, there ain't no rushing mighty wind come in your life yet. If you're still going along with the things of the world, just like your house, you know, we had that first home built for Satan. Wasn't it nice and pretty? It was a pest house, let's just be honest. But look, once the mighty wind of God comes, the true conversion, it blows that thing gone, and it begins to build up a true tabernacle for God. I can't tell you what sensation you should have. I can't tell you what feelings or what, if you got to have lightning bolts or speaking tongues or whatever. But there's one thing sure, the life of Christ needs to be alive in you now.
Amen.
Or you didn't get it yet.
That's right.
You didn't get it yet. Like you just read there, he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We read it about Romans where he said, incorruption does not inherit corruption, neither is, you know, vice versa. Only incorruption can inherit immortality. Corruption will only inherit death. Well, then how can we, when we're mortals, as I'm trust we all know that tonight, that we're in a body of death. Well, then how are we going to inherit incorruption when we're corruptible? That's because that's not the real us. The real us is the converted one.
Amen.
That's right, which was 1 Peter. I'm just going to quote it. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again. See, not just made up, not just a thought, not just intellect, not just a faith that I happened, but nothing happened in my life. Being born again. Being a new creature. But being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible.
Yes.
By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
The seed of the Word was in me. And when I was truly converted by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God came off the pages and it now lives in this vessel. And it has to be the same for every born again Christian since Pentecost till the end.
Amen.
The program of God has never changed. Being born again is not a change of mind. That is merely a step, which I'll get to in a second. It's a step to being converted, but you're not converted till God witnesses His Spirit down into your life. It seals you into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Questions and Answers, 1954. Now in that, in this there, remember that when you are justified by faith, I hope that explains it. See, now you are a Christian right then. Listen to what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
This is why we get called cult in the message, because we don't teach this stuff right. We go off thinking everybody's got to get the Holy Ghost in order to be saved. Now listen to me now. You do have to be redeemed. But there's all kinds of souls going to come up in that second resurrection that are saved.
Sure.
You say, well, all you got to do is accept Jesus in your heart. That's right. That is all you have to do to be saved, is really receive salvation in your heart. But the bride, listen to me now, if you're just trying to get saved, you're in the wrong message. God didn't come to just give salvation. He came to give redemption. There was a certain class of predestinated one that He was going to grab and put on the throne next to Him. And in this day, it said that the Son of Man would come again in human flesh, that God would reflect Himself in a body.
Amen.
Just like He did when Christ was here Himself.
Exactly.
Now, you're going to get saved before you get redeemed. All right? You can't be in a pest house and get put on the throne. You can't still be in prison and rule the kingdom. You got to get, well, some of them I can. I guess they're trying to do it now, and they're right. Hillary probably should be locked up. She's trying to rule the nation. That's all right. Woo, Democrat here somewhere? I ain't preaching no politics. Man, goodness, they started saying some comments today, and I just recognize no wonder these people are running for office. We got a bunch of crazies in this nation anymore. People get mad. Never mind. All right. Just don't want to go. I want to talk about the Lord. That's the devil, and that's a scarecrow in our day anyways. Acting like politics is going to help something. It's the seed of what's destroying everything. And I'm not just talking national. That same spirit has gotten to the churches, made things political, got us all clicking away from each other, got us all in our different little camps of I'm born again because I wear blue, and I'm born again because I got this, and I blah, 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 blah. We all like football, so that's why we got the Holy Ghost. We are the hunting buddy, so we're the real save because Brother Branham hunted. I'm sorry, he didn't skip church to do it.
Amen.
He didn't obsess over it and dump all his money into it and not spend time with his wife. Oh, he went on vacations. Well, yeah, you know what he said about that? How many knows? Brother Branham said, to my shame, I go on a hunting trip every year on our anniversary to get away for a while. He said, it's the only time I can fit it in. But he never said, this is the standard for everyone, guys. Go ahead and do it. These people act like they're busy. Brother, sister, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're busy. I understand about being busy as well. But the prophet of God laid a standard before us that we are without excuse.
Amen.
I was looking at 1 month, I think it was in 62, the man preached over 20 times in 1 month. Not just little 20-minute sermons. We're talking hours, traveling in between, all over the countryside. Sure, he was tired. But God was moving a message. Aren't you happy for that?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. He even says that later on. He says, that's why I'm keeping you so late. He says, because we're taping this, and people will listen to this for years to come.
Amen.
That was me. That has to be you. Amen. All right. Now listen, that's truly to be saved. And I'm not talking in this resurrection here. I mean all the way at the end. To be saved. If you accepted Jesus in your heart as Savior, you're saved.
Yep.
Now, what are you going to do for that 1,000 years? God forbid. I don't know. But you won't be alive. From when the Armageddon happens, look, it says the dead live not for 1,000 years. Only the Christ and the bride's on the earth. So I don't know what's going on that 1,000 years, but I'm pretty sure I want to be with the Lord.
Amen. Exactly.
I'm going to leave that alone, but we'll get there. We'll get this all cleared up, I hope. When you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you are a Christian at that time. That's right. I believe if you would die right then, when you accept Jesus as Savior, I believe you'd be saved. I don't think Brother Branham changed his mind later on. I believe he meant this.
Yep.
That's what the dying thief did on the cross.
Right.
And that's what others, that's what the Scripture says. He said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. See, I believe you are a Christian then. Now, I can't judge whether you are or not. God knows whether you are or not. See, that's your heart. Now, I wasn't sent no other man to judge. We are only sent to preach, see. Mm-hmm. Now, you're a Christian when you accept Jesus. Now here's the difference. Let me get you this real quick. These people could be saved. They could not be saved. They have no evidence either way. They have a hope that they're saved, yes. But not the Christian, not the true born again believer. He's got an evidence in his hand that I'm not only saved, I'm sanctified, redeemed, filled with the Holy Ghost. I am a queen to sit on the throne next to God. I've got an evidence. I don't have a hope. I've got a faith. Faith is, I already know it's true.
Amen.
Christian hope isn't what the world calls hope. Christian hope is, I know it will happen.
Amen.
It hasn't happened yet, but I know it will.
Amen.
And I've got a faith now that I got it.
Amen.
Amen. But those, and look, you could go to Matthew 25 and read the judgment. Remember I'm trying not to go there. Oh, Lord, just have your way. Matthew 25, the judgment was set, and there was a group over here and a group over here. How many knows the story? And he says, he put the sheep on the one side and the goats on the other. He said to the sheep, he said, come into everlasting life. This was after the 1,000 years, though.
Amen.
So where's the bride? All right. But right there's this group. And he said, I was hungry and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. You clothed me and all these things.
Sure.
And they said, when did we do that? No evidence that they were saved. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know they're going to make it yet. They're thinking judgment might be coming.
Sure.
Both groups are hoping they're saved.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, they said, when do we do this, Lord? He says, as you've done it to the least of these. Where's the these? I thought everybody was over there.
Uh-huh.
There's some bride around the king. As you did it to one of these bride members, as you, unbeliever, or just salvation, no redemption at all, since you were nice to one of my elected bride members,
amen.
I give you eternal life. They're not in the New Jerusalem, but look, there's a whole earth on here. Don't tell me we've got a 1,500-mile city and the other 20,000 miles ain't going to get used. Is this kind of crumbling down our message hierarchy that we've come up with a little bit? Salvation really is that easy.
Amen.
And redemption truly is grounded in God choosing you.
Amen.
There's no way to get around it. You say, why are you better than those other people than that side? You're not. But God chose me. God chose every believer. And He chose every Holy Ghost-filled person to be His elected.
Yep.
Said why? Because He wanted to.
Amen.
People don't like that, but look, I'm so happy for it. I'm so happy that I didn't have to choose him, but that he already chose me. And since his choice came to me, I was able to respond to say, Lord, yes, I'll marry you.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right. See, I believe you are a Christian then. Now, I can't judge you whether you are or not. God knows whether you are or not. See, that's your heart. I wasn't sent, or no other man to judge. We were only sent to preach, see? Now, you're a Christian when you receive, accept Jesus. And when the blood of Jesus, now look, that's justification. Now, let's talk about a real believer. He ain't done. He's not converted yet. A real believer's got to get sanctified. Come on now, I'm talking to somebody that's really going to be in the bride. You can't just get justified in your head or just have a, you've got to move on. You've got to be sanctified by the Spirit.
Amen.
And I'll read that in a minute. And then you've got to be filled by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the only time that you know that you're part of the bride. And when the blood of Jesus Christ was applied to you, your sins and your habits and filth of the world that you walled in is gone from you.
Yes,
smoking, drinking, gambling, all these unclean habits leave you by sanctification. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and anoints you and puts you in service to do something for Him.
Yeah.
So these ones that are justified maybe and that's it, look, they're not serving the Lord. They're not doing nothing for the kingdom because the world can't tell them apart from the other group.
Amen.
The goats and the sheep, they all think they're the same. Nobody knows who's saved and who's not. But this elected believer, Holy Ghost filled, there's something different about Him. He's not just saying some good thoughts. He doesn't have good logic. There's a God that lives. There's a God that breathes. There's a man that if he prays for me, something's going to happen. That's a man that has contact with God and actually does something for the kingdom.
Sure.
You won't do a thing until you get the Holy Ghost for the real kingdom. And that includes real believers. That includes the predestinated. Until you're actually born again, you do nothing for the actual kingdom of God.
Right.
You say, really? Well, Peter was going out, he was preaching, he was casting out devils, and the whole time a mockery to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. When it was his time to witness of the Savior and all that he's done, and they came up to him right before the crucifixion, they said, Peter, you know him.
Uh-huh.
He said, no, I don't. Whoo!
Sure.
Where'd all that courage go, Peter? Remember, he told Jesus to his face. He said, when you're converted, Peter, strengthen your brethren. What did Peter say? Of course I'm converted.
Uh-huh.
Lord, I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to go to prison, whatever. He said, yeah, right. Said, no, you're not. You're just fooling yourself. Because though you might be saved by justification, you ain't got the Holy Ghost yet.
That's right.
You can't be sanctified because I ain't spilled the blood for you yet.
Right.
But when you're converted, he could, you see, Christ sees a little bit further than us. He could see Pentecost coming. He said, when you get there, Peter, I need somebody to preach on Pentecost, and I'm calling you. So when you get converted, strengthen your brethren. You're all going to be cowering in an upper room. I need you first out the door. Get out in there and blast this gospel to all nations.
Amen.
After you get the Holy Ghost. Too many people say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I just can't seem to do nothing. They get all discouraged, and before you know it, they're out of church and everything else. Why? You didn't wait long enough to see if the Lord was actually in your heart yet. Most of us ain't smart enough, or I say smart enough, or most people don't know how to humble themselves enough to really get the Holy Ghost like the Bible got it.
Sure.
In the Bible, people didn't have all this intellectualism in the way.
Uh-huh.
They heard the word, and I'll get to that in a minute, and they received it.
That's
Some of them needed little sensations. Some of them needed people to lay hands on. Some of them needed certain people to be there to lay hands on. But there's a group that didn't need anything. That was at the house of Cornelius, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Let me finish that quote that I just read, and then I want to turn to Acts 10. It says, now, where was I at? Now that is them three. Now the next. Then the next thing to do is then you're born again when you receive the Holy Ghost. That's when you're converted. You might be in the process of conversion, but you're not converted until it's completed and you're sealed into the kingdom of God. So don't go. Look, there's some people, look, God give us wisdom to discern spirits. There's certain people can't receive this message, but they'll receive salvation. They won't receive the redemption that the bride does, but they will receive salvation. That's right. So preach what God lays on your heart. And when you have that check, don't go into that. Look, Jesus didn't tell everybody everything. Ooh, buddy. There were certain things he said, look, it's not for them. They asked him, he said, Jesus, why are you talking parables all the time? Why do you make this so hard for everybody to understand? He said, it's not for them. That's it's right. For you. Amen. That's pretty partial. Well, God's a partial God. He loves his own. You're partial. Don't lie to yourself. You love your kids more than mine. Don't lie, or you'd be over getting them to sleep at night when I'm trying to go to bed. Amen. That's right. Let's not, let's just go ahead and shake off all that, all them angel wings that we pretend we got that just glued on and ain't nothing to it, and let's be men and women of God. Amen. And recognize that God loves his children.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. That doesn't mean he doesn't love the stranger, but there's a little bit of difference when it's your own kids. Amen. Acts 10. This is a strong meat tonight. I want to lay it down. Let's put it that way. You got to clench a nail sometimes. Acts 10, 39. Let's just go right to there. And this is Peter preaching to Cornelius and his family. And we are witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people.
Come on.
Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Uh-oh. How do you not have predestination? Amen. Even to us. Oh, Peter, you're on a pedestal. I don't know what to tell you. I was there. I don't know why he chose me, but he did.
Amen.
I don't know why he prayed for me, but I thank God he did. Amen. Amen. Says Peter, Satan's trying to sift you, but I prayed for you. Amen. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that this is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. And to him give all the prophets witness. See, Peter wasn't leaving the word with some little feeling sensation. He said, every prophet prophesied about this man, and none of it's failed. And we are eyewitnesses of it.
Amen.
That all the hope of Israel has been fulfilled by this one man. And yes, you've all missed it. I don't know why he rose from the dead and only showed up to a few of us, but that's the way he did it. And I'm here to preach it to you now, Cornelius.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What is this? This is like a radical conversion.
Amen.
This is like what people think that the Holy Ghost without cessation wouldn't be. Listen to me now. Oh, they're speaking in tongues and stuff. It's probably wrong. Really? Come on now. They were speaking in tongues and magnifying God. There was something happened. Did it have to be speaking in tongues? No, there's times where it wasn't. But there's something that they knew. They could say, these received the Holy Ghost today. In this service, glory to God.
Amen.
Look, the Bible said they did.
Amen.
And the apostles knew it.
Sure.
All right, look, I'm going to read some quotes here. And we could keep reading there, but I think you understand. He told them right when he did it, they could tell. He said, can any forbid water? These should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So I just wanted to close that out. Now listen to this. I got a few quotes. Queen of Sheba, 1958. Are you with me tonight?
Yeah.
Abraham called those things which were not as though they were after he had met God. That's the first thing. You have to have an experience. If you don't have an experience, you won't have faith. Every man, every Christian that calls on the name of Jesus has no right at all in the pulpit until he has a backside of the desert experience. Now, here's the quote that I'm getting to tonight. It comes out of Sirs, Is This the End, 1962. And some of the mysteries that I've been going through, Brother Bram lays them out in this service, and he says this one. He says, one of the mysteries of the end time is the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. So what have most people taken that quote and interpreted it as? Is now the Holy Ghost is intellectualism. I say I believe the message. God sent a prophet. I did these religious acts. I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe the serpent seed. I believe in all these, the new earth, the new heavens, and all these doctrines. And now that I finally got that right, I know I've got the Holy Ghost. And there's been no real change. They still love the same things they always did. Sure, they might be in a pew. They might even just be saved. You understand what I'm saying? But they didn't have a real experience to where you couldn't talk them out of it. Now, that is not what Brother Branham's saying. He said without sensation. We're talking about the Holy Ghost without a certain feeling or interpretation or anything like that. But he never said the Holy Ghost without an experience.
Right.
And I can't say this loud enough. If you've never met God one-on-one to where it got past your intellect, to where it got past your reasoning, and you know that this is the only one true living God, and that He's not out in the clouds somewhere waiting and just folding His hands up, but He's been in my life from birth till now, His hands weaved into everything I've ever done, and He's come to set me free from this prison house that I was in, and now He's made a way of redemption to get back into my heart. You have to have that real experience, or you aren't converted yet.
Hallelujah.
Could you be in the process? Sure, brother, sister, but show me that in the Bible. Show me someone that got saved one day, you know, sanctified 2 weeks from then, got the Holy Ghost 10 years later. Where is that in the Bible? But we teach that in the message, don't we? Oh, you might be just, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. The only reason it would go that way is because you're not taught right.
Amen.
When you get justified, you ought to get sanctified and get the Holy Ghost all at the same time.
Come on.
What happens? You get like Samaritans. Well, we had a good shouting time. That's good enough for me. I had the sensation I wanted. I must have the Holy Ghost. They said, you ain't got nothing. Said all they did was baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. So they could have been justified, sanctified, but there's been no sealing work take place yet.
Why?
Because they settled for the Holy Ghost just because of a certain sensation, not because of a real conversion. But then when Peter came down and had to lay hands on them, they had to have some sort of sensation. That those Samaritans couldn't handle just taking the word.
Right.
They needed a sensation. But that's why Brother Branham was saying at the end time, there's going to be a group of people who can actually receive the Holy Ghost for the word's sake,
Amen.
Just like Cornelius did.
Amen.
That even before they got baptized,
Amen.
Even before they did one religious motion, they received the word into their heart, and God was able to plow right in there and give them the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. And that mystery's been unfolded, that we don't have to do some religious motion. If I didn't speak in tongues, that's okay, as long as God actually got into my soul.
Amen.
So now I'm going to finish that quote that I read earlier. The mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, but the person of Christ performing in you the same works that He did.
Yes.
That's a converted soul.
Amen.
Peter couldn't do it until he got the Holy Ghost.
Right.
How did he get the Holy Ghost? Because he humbled himself.
Yeah.
As Jesus said, unless you humble yourself and become one like a little child, you won't get it.
Amen.
Brother, sister, where does that put our big heads in this message? I'll tell you where, not in a converted soul. If you can't recognize that you needed the grace of God just as much as that blank sinner out there, just as much as any Baptist, just as much as any man that's turned his back on the Lord, if you didn't have the grace of God all throughout your life, you never would have been moved on.
Amen.
You have to humble yourself as a child and recognize, how do I humble myself, Brother Andrew? Forget everything you think about it and believe what God said.
Amen.
Said, Papa God said, this is how I get the Holy Ghost. By believing the Word.
Amen.
Papa God says something's going to happen to me if I get the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
I'm here, Lord. Let it happen.
Amen.
How? I can't tell you, brother. But there's one thing I know for sure. If the wind came through, you won't have to tell me. Ooh, glory. They didn't have to tell Peter. They knew it. Didn't have to tell Paul, they knew it. Because look, not even all Gentiles had that kind of faith, because the Ephesians came to Paul there.
Right.
They needed Paul to be there and getting them all straightened up and getting them baptized and everything. Then they could get the Holy Ghost, but not Cornelius. Cornelius had his heart right before the Lord. See, that's what we're talking about. You've got to have, there's a new spirit comes on a believer.
Sure.
For God to even work on you.
That's right.
Too many make that the conversion.
Right.
And it isn't. It isn't. It's just God getting you a condition that He can't even talk to you in the first place.
Sure.
Because if that doesn't happen, you're still in the world, and you're listening to so many devils, you ain't going to be able to hear God.
Right.
Just imagine a person out there with every electronic device around them, headphones on, everything else, and you're sitting there trying to whisper. He ain't going to hear you.
Sure.
And you know what? God don't change His program for nobody.
Right.
It's still a still small voice. Amen. Hallelujah. All the way back to Elijah. Remember, it was Elijah, I believe. He said the whirlwind came, the earthquake, the fire was all over the place. And then after that, a still small voice. Now look, you got to go through the fire. You got to stay in the earthquake. That's right. You got to handle the rushing mighty wind. You start making excuses all the way back then, you're never going to get to the still small voice. Well, if they didn't scream so loud, I wouldn't be able to hear from God. Shut up. No, go right on through. That's the wind of the Lord. That's right. Oh, the pressures of the world are just too hard. There's earthquakes on every side, and just life's too hard in Laodicea. I can't hear God no more. You got to get through that earthquake.
Amen.
The fire of God, Lord, burn out my unbelief.
Amen.
Burn out all of me, or you ain't never going to hear from God. But if you can stand it, you'll be just like it, and it won't be something just out in your face. Something real silent down in the heart. Because when you got truth, what was that one president, Teddy Roosevelt? He said, walk silently carrying a big stick. I said, that's the way God is, isn't that right? Except He's got a sword. He's got a sword that'll beat anything.
Yep.
He don't need to raise His voice because He knows who He is.
Amen.
And same with any Christian. Amen.
Sure.
What am I trying to get at tonight? The Holy Ghost without sensation, first off, is not, that does not mean the Holy Ghost without an experience. That does not mean the Holy Ghost because I intellectually believe something or I say I believe it. If God didn't witness of it, you ain't got it.
Amen.
You're not converted. You've got to get the Holy Ghost.
Sure.
Now, Brother Branham said this, letting off the pressure, 1963. Oh, no wonder God likened His heritage to the eagle. You know, He calls Himself an eagle. And we are eagles. We are eagles. And the eagles is not a scavenger. He gets fresh meat every day. Amen.
Sure.
Eagle food. That's what the church has to have. Not an experience of 40 years ago. An experience I got right now. Something fresh from heaven. So even the experience, a true conversion, listen to me now, a true conversion, a true experience is eternal.
Amen.
It's not just one day and, oh, I got the Holy Ghost and now I'm lost again. It's something that continually just lives and lives and lives and manifests the person of Christ in the believer. More and more of Christ, less and less of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a real conversion. A real conversion grows. A real conversion makes the statue of a perfect man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And in this day, it makes the whole thing. In other days, it didn't. That's mighty deep theology. But in other ages, they couldn't manifest the full word. But your excuse is done run out in this age.
Amen.
God has paved the way. He's opened the seals. He's shown us how to have life prevailing revelation. Every day of our lives. Not an experience I got 40 years ago. Something I got right now.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Listen to this question now. 1963, or 4, questions and answers. They asked Brother Branham this. Are you listening still?
Yep.
All two of you are. All right. The rest of you listen in your hearts, right? Well, I'll just preach in my heart for a while and we'll see how well that works. Amen. He was asked this. Do your children have to have an experience to have the Holy Spirit? If they see the end time message, do they have the Holy Spirit? Ooh. A lot of people's got an answer for that already. Well, sure. Sure. Or I applied the token. Of course they got the Holy Ghost. Why are they still out in the world? Well, I applied the token. You might be misinterpreting what Brother Branham said. Got quiet because you might not be doing that right. Now listen. He says, everyone must have an experience. Your children cannot go in on no other way but the same way you do. See, they've got to be born again.
Amen.
There's no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. They're all children. They must have it. Must have an experience with God to go in just the same as you.
Amen.
So, brother, what does it mean to apply the token? How can it, look, you, if you're just saying they're saved just because, that's not right. But if you're saying, I know in my heart, I got a faith, that they will be born again. That's the difference. So don't get into this place where you just like get complacent and say, well, I applied it, it's good to go. No, there should be someone on the inside say, Lord, I believe it. I believe it. Lord, it's got to be. It's got to be. He said, cry day and night unto me. He said, his elect keep knocking, and I'm there. I'm ready to answer. But he knows the time. He knew the same time for you. Every one of us need an experience just the same. Nobody gets a back door into heaven. A man tried that in the Bible, and they kicked him out. That's right. So when you blame, look, there's all kinds of people in here thinking the same thing. I can catch it on every side. Brother, sister, believe God. When you apply it, look, that becomes more than just a saying. It has to become a reality to you.
Yes.
Because you might be the outlet to do it. And you got to have the faith to recognize you might not be the outlet to do it. You know, it's hard sometimes. You might think it's easy where you're at, but imagine being a preacher. Taking all the hard work, you know, and I did this with them, I got, and they get saved, and then they're gone. See, if you got your own pride and hands into it and think you did something about it, sure, feels like you lost it. But when you recognize you didn't have nothing to do with it anyways, it ain't nothing to do with you, it's to do with the kingdom of God, and these souls are worth way more than any of our pride, it doesn't really matter. I want to know that souls came from death unto life. If you stay in this church, praise God. If you don't, praise God. The main thing is, get in the kingdom.
Amen.
Get to where you're converted and you know without a shadow of a doubt, if Jesus comes, you're going with Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I was thinking about maybe going a different way, but I'm just gonna read a quote here and then I'm gonna try to wrap this up. God hidden in simplicity. Now, this is in 1964 or 63, sorry. Brother Branham preached God is hidden and revealed in simplicity twice. Most people know the sermon he preached. It was right before he preached the seals. He said, God, and he said, I didn't know what that meant after the seals. He said, now I get it. It's so simple. It's a child wouldn't hear therein. But that's what makes it so great, is that you would think that something this powerful would be more in depth than what it was. But he recognized, no, that was the bride behind that word. And she's the same thing he is. And it just begins to unfold the whole Bible together. Are you hearing me tonight?
Yeah.
And he said it was so simple, yet so powerful. But after the seals, he preaches it again. And they're both, I'm not saying don't listen to the word. Listen to the word. That's word all through. Always listen to this word. Amen. But he gets to the end of the service. And this is one of the few times where Brother Branham really took the altar call into his own hands.
Oh, that's right. Amen.
And some of you that's listening to this tape, it'll impress you forever if you ever listen to it.
Amen.
He begins to lead people to the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He says that he's here now. And he says, look, that shower of the Spirit's here. And there, he says for sure there was four of them got up. And he said, those four received it. He even says that. He said, but look, there's others here too. Why are you leaving here without it?
Amen.
Now let me read you what he says. And this is what happened. It's at the end of the service. He said, Jesus told Peter the night of the betrayal, he was already saved. Okay, so there you go. This is post-seals. So if you want to tell me that justification don't mean you're actually saved, but it does if you really got it. You're already saved. All right. Jesus told Peter the night of the betrayal, he was already saved, said, now, after you're converted, strengthen your brethren. That's right. Oh, sure. You accepted Christ as your Savior. But when you're converted is when you're really changed. That's right. And he wasn't changed yet. He cursed before the Lord and he denied him and everything. Amen. But after his conversion, after thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Is that right? Amen. That's what the scripture says anyhow. That makes it right. Amen. Jesus told Peter that had followed him, cast out devils and done miracles and everything, said, you're not converted yet. But after you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. Right, it's true. Now, why could you turn down such an invitation as that? It's for you. I don't want to see you leave here without it, brother. We may never have another convention. We don't know. We don't know what lays ahead. We might never have another one. If you want to sit down and pray a while, it's up to you. It's whatever you want to do. If you want to sit down, you want to remain standing, we're going to pray again. Do every little thing you want to, but I want you to receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, it's for you.
Amen.
Why would four receive it right here and the rest of you not? See, you just got to humble yourself, open up your heart, and really believe it.
Amen.
And then this just dumbfounded me. He says, I may not be a good instructor in this. My ministry is praying for the sick. And he goes on. You know what he does? He asks another brother to come up. He says, maybe somebody else can do this better. He said, the man comes up and he begins to speak in tongues and things and to lead some souls to the Lord. What is Brother Branham trying to say? It's like, you're looking for a sensation. He said, fine, do it. Stand, sit, whatever. The point is, get it.
Amen.
Get a real experience. He'll talk about it. He said, you got a partial yielding, but yield everything. You're holding back a little bit.
Amen.
Glory to God. You're telling me the prophet that discerns hearts, that the ministry that we understand has outshined everything else, couldn't get these people to the Holy Ghost? Not if they didn't believe it.
Amen.
Do you understand this mysterious conversion that I'm talking about? The real converted heart is because even with the sensations, even without sensations, even with, you know, you had to get baptized first, you got your hands laid on you, all that aside, none of that converted you. What converted you is that whatever means you took, you really believed it. And when you really believed it, you began to recognize it wasn't me in the first place. You began to recognize someone took my place.
Amen.
Someone went to the cross where I should have died and died for me. And now the word's come and said, actually, you died with him.
Amen.
You already died and you raised again.
Sure.
Saying, how can that be possible? Why do you think you're baptized in Jesus Christ's name? Oh man, maybe we need to go into that for a minute. I know I got a scripture. Can we got some time? Well, you're going to take it. Romans 6. Praise the Lord. We'll finish on this. Lord willing, that is. I might as well just throw that in now. Romans 6. It's actually right where I'm at in my Bible. I got my bookmark right there. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight?
Amen.
Thank the Lord for true, somewhere I can put my feet down and know where I'm standing. Know that I really got the Holy Ghost. That's right. Let's just start at verse, just right at the beginning. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's where I'm getting at. There's got to be a conversion. If you really got the Holy Ghost, you are not going to still be like a sinner. Are you telling me I wasn't saved before? Maybe, maybe not. I can't tell you. But if you get a conversion, I can say you're saved.
Sure. Amen.
Until then, we're both just guessing, just hoping, just rolling the dice. You might be, you might not. But that's not why the message came. The message came to give us a rock-solid foundation so we know where we stand. How can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The conversion is actually your evidence. It's the evidence that comes out of your life that the resurrection actually happened.
Amen.
Don't tell me you can go on in the things of the world and really got the Holy Ghost yet. You didn't have it yet. If you get it, you'll walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, see, this Brother Branham didn't make this stuff up. It was laying in the Word the whole time, but nobody recognized it. I was on the cross. I died with him. How else could that be? That's not a type. That's reality.
Amen.
The whole fullness of the Godhead bodily was in one man.
Yes.
Christ Jesus, and every redemptive person that would be in that throne was there at that time.
Amen.
And as we died, so do we now in a like figure when we're baptized really and we really give our hearts to the Lord. That's why we immerse you. Because you're gone. I don't want just a sprinkling. I don't want just a little bit of revival, a little sensation. I shouted today, bless God, I'm saved. No, I want something dump me down, kill me. Bury that man.
Amen.
See, that's a lot easier of a trial than what Jesus did. Jesus got beaten, killed, had to go down to hell.
Uh-huh.
That's right. The reasons of the loss, whatever you want to call it, he did.
Yep.
Aren't you happy he did it for you?
Amen.
Yes. Tell you what, that cold water don't really be, it's not that hard anymore, is it? When you begin to think what he did, that you're only doing a type of. Amen. But if we go down like he did in his death, that's only a testament I come up like he did.
Amen.
And when he came in a resurrection, look, he was so powerful the devil didn't know what to do with him. The devil never stopped him. The devil never tempted him anymore. Wherever he wanted to be, he was.
Right.
How'd he get there? He thought it.
Yeah.
That's right. Remember, they were in the room. The Bible tells us the doors were locked.
Amen.
And he just showed up.
Yeah.
Traveling like a thought. And when they recognized him, he was gone. And if we died with him when we raised in the resurrection,
oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Which now we have the down payment, living in a new life already. But when the new body comes, we'll have one just like his. We'll travel like a thought. Now it makes sense. That's what the Lord did.
Uh-huh.
Two men walking. Wasn't that right? All of a sudden a third one showed up. Where did he come from? Hallelujah. He went in, and the second they recognized him, remember, they convinced him, come in to us, Lord, come have supper. They didn't even know it was the Lord, actually. They said, come on, you're a good preacher. You know, come on in and talk to the boys in here. And they got in there, and then he broke the bread. He said, that's the way the Lord did it. And he was gone. Why? All they had to do was know he's alive.
Amen.
The Lord knew he didn't need to say anything fancy. He didn't need to do any sensations. As long as they could catch the revelation that he rose, that means they rose as well.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Ooh, glory.
If we be dead with him, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. And in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed through sin, unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. How are you going to do that until you know you're converted? How are you going to do that when you still don't know if God really lives in you or not? Well, that's the problem is you begin to look at your own carnal hands and you say, I'm just an unrighteous person. I can't do anything right. I'm just wrong, 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 wrong. But when you begin to realize that God took that, he took that wrong person, he crucified him, he killed him so that this other new man could live in you, then you begin to recognize God has sanctified my hands. I can pray for the sick because he took my place. So if he would pray and they get healed, I believe I'll pray and they'll get healed.
Amen.
Wow.
Do you see the difference? Use your hands as members of righteousness. Lord, I'm not worthy to witness. What are you talking about? He said you're worthy because he took your place.
Amen.
Witness the same way he did. How greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world? When I see devils, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of nothing. Conquer the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Said, do I need to feel it? That's the whole mystery of this hour. Feelings ain't got nothing to do with it. Little chill bumps, little sensations and things. Can God do that? Sure. But when it's all done, if that's the basis of your faith, you will sway in this hour. Because the devil will catch what you base God off of that's not necessarily the word, and he'll begin to use it.
Sure.
He'll begin to get you to feel that thing where, you know, if I feel this, I know it's wrong. Then he'll get you to do it when you're listening to a tape. It gets you when you read a scripture. It gets you doing what somebody's preaching, is preaching the word. Say, oh, I felt that thing that tells me it's wrong. Well, if it's the word, your little thing is wrong. We all got them, don't we? We all got our little pet sensations. But there's no basis to that. What's the basis? Is the word of God.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit, listen, will always punctuate this word with an amen. And it's sure, don't tell me there ain't no heartfelt religion. I ain't talking about that. There is. If you ain't got heartfelt religion, you're not converted. If you're not walking in newness of life, you're not converted. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't got no strength in this day. Because that's the only thing that's left is the Christians that really know. Come, I don't care. Let Donald Trump come. Let the other guys blow this nation up. Let Putin send a bomb before it lands. I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
So are my kids. So are my family. Come on now. We believe this word.
Amen.
We're all going together. We're not leaving a hoof behind, Satan. Do all you want to. Greater is the work of God. You can't defeat God, so you can't defeat me. Because me and him are one.
Amen.
Did you feel it, Brother Andrew? Well, maybe sometimes, but doesn't matter. Did you sense it? Maybe. Doesn't matter. Did the word say it? Yes, sir. That's the way it's going to be. Amen. And the word's already declared, there'll be a bride without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing? Well, that's impossible, Brother Andrew. That's what the Bible said. That's the truth. You know what's going to make that live? When you just believe it. You want to live before God, right? I don't mean to keep going. I hope I'm not boring you tonight. You know, I passed an hour here for a minute. All right, brother, thank you. The only reason you don't live for God is because you begin to doubt that you are actually a part of this. You begin to look at things that you've done wrong. You begin to look at the man. You're looking at a corpse and identifying with it, knowing that the guy's dead.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I had that. Oh, man, I saw that alcohol over there, and I thought about maybe drinking it again. Brother, sister, don't identify. That guy's dead.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, I saw that pretty girl, and I thought, man, you know, sometimes I really do miss wearing pants. They were real convenient. Don't listen to that. That guy's dead. That woman's dead. Something's taking place on the inside. You're a real believer now. Nobody's got to make you do it. Look, and I'm totally convinced you get somebody to real Holy Ghost, you ain't got to go through these little bitty trinket things all day long. You'll know. You'll just know. Why? The Holy Spirit begins to lead you and to guide you in all truth. But if you stop, and I can't stop warning this, if you stop anywhere short of that true conversion, you've got no anchor.
Amen.
And this is what I'm going to finish on. Judas went through a process of justification. He did. He went through a process of sanctification. He said, thy word is truth. And Jesus said, I sanctify you by my word. My word is truth. But before he got to the Holy Ghost, he sold out. And everything that it looked like he had, he lost it all. To the point where Jesus said it would have been better for that man never to be born. So that's why close enough, you know, probably be saved. No, you don't understand what you're gambling. You want to bet on this investment and that investment, sure, you might lose a few bucks, but this is your soul on the line. Too many people think that God only gives us a hope. He gives us faith.
Amen.
He gives it to His believers to where they can know without a shadow of a doubt. Say, Brother Andrew, you're going to be saved. Are you going to be there? Are you going to the resurrection? Yes, I am.
Amen.
Why? Amen. Not anything I did. I just believed it. And when I believed it, God witnessed of it. God came into this old vile body that you might think was holy. It wasn't. And it's still, the body itself ain't, but what's in it is. That's right. This old prideful, jealous being that used to live in here, he done been crucified. That's right. The man that used to think he was something found out he was a big pile of nothing. That a big man really is the little man. Amen. The real big man is the man that can make you feel like the big man.
Sure.
You begin to realize that that's where real heroes are born. When you go to Christians in the world trying to show off and things, it just disgusts you almost anymore. When you think that they think that that's being spiritual. Brother, sister, the most times I've ever witnessed anybody is when I look like a fool. When I had a student one time, a girl literally sat on the floor. I was trying to teach a lesson. She just got up and sat over there on the floor. And I thought about just breaking the coals, man. I was done. But I could feel the Lord check me. He said, don't do it. Don't do it. Just give me a chance. I said, all right, Lord. She came, and I just kept on teaching. I was like, well, she ain't distracting everybody else. At least the other kids can learn. So we'll just let them learn something today. After a while, she recognized that I wasn't going to take her bait, so we call it. And she got up and eventually stormed out of there, and I think she even swore at me. Went down to the, now here's the problem, everyone in the class heard it, so they all told on her anyways. But she got down there, and she got in trouble for that and everything, and she came back to my class and looked at me, and I wasn't a bit mad, wasn't upset with her at all. You know why? Because something had got past that demon on her and saw that caged up poor soul. That doesn't, look, nobody in the right mind does stupid stuff like that. It's a devil possession does stuff like that. She came to me in tears and said, you should hate me. I said, why don't you fight back? Why don't you do anything? I said, because I care about you. And I'm trying not to cry, you know, I'm trying to be a man. But she later wrote me a note saying something like that really touched her. Look, that's all you can do. Can you convert somebody? No, the Lord has to. But there should be a witness in your life that you're not like the world. There's something different about you. You don't just go to church. You're not just a good pew sitter. You don't just have a lot of good theology. You can't just explain it. But something about you makes the Bible come off the pages. It makes it become real. That's what converts people, brother, sister. That's what God has called this bride to be in this day. And I'm happy to be a part of it. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Let's just praise the Lord and worship Him. Going a little bit longer tonight, but I just can't help but we got to know that we got the Holy Ghost. We're past the days of guessing. We've got to know where we're at with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Flow through me, the Holy Spirit. Flow. 566. Thank you, Lord. Praise Him now. As I lift my hands to worship and to magnify Thy name, flow. Oh, let Him have His way tonight. Open up our hearts. Let's open up our souls and say, Lord, flow tonight.
Flow through
every fiber, Lord.
Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Believe it with all your heart.
Oh, flow through me.
Oh, let the Holy Ghost have His way.
Holy Spirit, flow.
Tonight.
Oh, as I lift my hands in worship and to magnify Thy name, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Dad, I want you to play it soft. Let's bow before Him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost tonight. He's here now. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you say, "Brother, I believe it with all my heart." Has God witnessed it back in your life? Hallelujah. Don't guess. No. You say, "How, brother?" Look, I can't make you do it. All you got to do is believe it. All you got to do is yield to it. Say, "Do I need to pray for it?" Probably not. You've probably already been led the right direction. It's just time. It's time now to believe it. It's time to say, "Lord, that was for me." Sometimes Christians, you just get away from it. You might not be humble enough to come back and say, "You know what? I'm just running empty. Sure, Lord, I believe you gave me the Holy Ghost. But I turned and fed on other things, Lord. But I need a refilling." There's refillings of the Holy Ghost too. That's right. If you can remember a day where you were closer to God than you are now, you're in only one condition, you're backslidden. Because you should always be growing closer to the Lord. You should always know more of His will. And look, you say, "How do I get back?" That you believe it. Say, "Lord, I believe the atonement's here for me. I believe the blood is what keeps me clean. Lord, and I pray the Holy Spirit witness in my life tonight. Not a sensation necessarily, Lord. Whatever you want to do, just let something strike my soul to where I know it did something that no man does, but only you can." Humble yourself as a child. Say, "Lord, that's for me tonight. This word was for me tonight." For the believer to know where you stand. For the unbeliever to become a believer. And say, "Lord, I believe this Holy Ghost. I believe it's for me. I believe that's why I'm here tonight. Lord, it's because you didn't want to see me on the outside get destroyed. You wanted me in the safe haven. You wanted me sheltered behind your wings. Glory to God, and you send the Holy Spirit into my soul tonight to do so." Oh, God bless you. Just keep on yielding now. Just keep yielding. How do I know I'm yielded? When you ain't got a thought coming, when you just praise the Lord, when you ain't worried about your neighbor, when you ain't worried about who's looking, when you ain't worried about showing off, when you're only worried about, "Lord, be glorified in my life. I'm tired of giving the devil praise in my life. I'm tired of living contrary to your word. Lord, have the preeminence in my soul." Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Spirit move free. Worship in the Spirit. Worship in the truth. Oh, if you speak in tongues, that's all right. If you magnify God, do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God because He's here now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that rushing mighty wind in the building tonight.
Oh, yes, Jesus.
Glory. Yes, Lord. We praise you. We lift you up. Thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight. Thank you for filling your children, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise Him with all your heart. Praise Him with all your heart. I don't feel led to call you up tonight. I feel led for you to just press right on. The violent take it by force. Tell devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm free tonight.
Praise God.
I'm not bound. I'm going to lift my head to my Maker. I'm going to be free of condemnation. I'm not going to live in this pest house no more. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm flying the skies. Lord, by the wind of the Holy Ghost, Lord, just lift me up past the clouds, past my doubts, past my fears, past my confusion. Let me see the clear picture of God up and above all this darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His holy name tonight. The same Holy Spirit that's been here service after service, He's here again tonight. He's already moved on some of you. Believe it with all your heart. Don't let the devil ever talk you out of it. What's setting you free is Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I praise you, Father.
Oh, glory to God. It's so simple. Just believe it with all that's in you. Sister, don't put anything before the Lord. You believe that. You say, "Lord, I'll stay modest before you. I'll treat myself like a lady. I won't act like Laodicea. I'll let my hair show the glory of God. I'll let my dress show the glory of God. I'll let my behavior." The world will call me just a doormat, but Lord, I'm going to stay on the Word. You men the same. They're going to call you a sissy. They're going to say you ain't a real man. You must be homosexual because you don't talk about women like we do. But you stay true to the Word. Say, "I ain't going to participate in none of that filth. I'm going to stay with the Lord."
Yes,
Yes.
Even if it's just me and him, I'll be like Daniel. Lord, I'm staying with you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, praise his holy name tonight. Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy praise Spirit moving tonight. I thank him for being here.
Oh, I praise
hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory. God, witness to every soul that this is the truth. Everyone that's here, may they know it without any doubt, Lord, that you've spoken to us tonight.
Oh, I praise you, Jesus.
Lord, you've never failed me yet. I thank you for it, Lord. You've never failed these people. You've always come on the scene. Hallelujah. 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 Brother Dan testified about getting healed here Sunday. Brother, sister, it's that simple. You know what I did? Brother Daniel testified. I didn't even pray for him. Went over and said, be healed in the name of Jesus, brother. Because the Holy Spirit told me, go lay hands on him. He'll be all right. It's that simple. You know, you got the same gifts of healing out here. You got the same gifts of faith. Sometimes you're just too afraid to use it. Sometimes you think you're fanatical. That ain't fanaticism. That's what we want. Amen. It's the same when you're on the job. It's the same when you're with your coworkers. If something moves on, you pray for them. Just do it, brother, sister. Something says testify what God's done for you. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. Be that converted soul. Believe it now that God, he's given you the Holy Ghost because now you're in service to him. If you don't have it, just yield. Just yield out of the way. Just say, Lord, not my will. Thine be done today. Hallelujah. 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 Worship him free of condemnation. Oh, the blood. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit tonight. Let's all pray our own way. Pour out your heart before God tonight. Lord Jesus, how I thank you tonight for coming and for speaking this word to us, Lord, to keep the bride in step with the word and to keep them away from all this evil, all these doctrines, all these ideas that are pushing people away from that true experience with God. Lord, thank you for the word, driving people back to the real Holy Ghost, driving them back to peace with God. Lord, may it take effect in everyone, heart, mind included. Lord, may we never leave that refuge. May we always stay in that place of perfect peace. Let off the pressure and know that Christ has taken our place so we could have his. Gratitude to each one that's here. May not one leave without the Holy Ghost. May not one leave without being redeemed. Lord, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, you're exposed. You've lied to us long enough, and we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, be glorified tonight. Thank you so much, Lord. We praise you in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, children, just lift your voices and praise him. Oh, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you tonight. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I can just magnify the Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, Father.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Just worship in the Spirit. Don't be ashamed. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for moving on us, Lord. Hallelujah. As a prophet of God said, I don't know how you get around that presence too long and not speak in tongues sometime. You just don't know what to say in English no more, so you just get past all those thoughts and just let the Lord say what he wants to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Oh, I worship you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. We lay our heart before you. Thank you so much, Lord. Oh, let's sing that tonight. I love him because he first loved me, purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love him because he first loved me. Do you mean that with
with all your soul tonight. Yes, Lord. Oh, and purchase my salvation. Oh, glory on Jesus.
All these plans.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you love him. Sing it now. Oh, not till resurrection morning. Hallelujah. This is that. Yes, Lord.
Had he purchased my salvation.
Believe the Lord with all my heart. I praise your name tonight.
On
last time all together.
Oh, I love him. I love him because he first loved me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Children, just love on your Lord tonight.
Oh, I love you.
I praise.
Tell him how much you appreciate it.
Yes, I praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
Thank you so much for your word, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for truth. Thank you for the light.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got a chorus. It's pretty simple. If you don't know it, it's 357. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. He's the one.
Yes.
He's the only one.
It's just,
it's in Jesus. All in Jesus. It's in Jesus. He's the of salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus, He's the one.
Sing that again now.
Oh, it's in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus, He's the.
It's in Jesus, all in Jesus.
Oh, it's in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, He's the
rock of salvation. Yes, Lord.
Rock of salvation, a firm foundation. It's in Jesus.
Lift your voice one more time all together. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's in Jesus. All in Jesus. It's in Jesus. He's the one. Salvation, a firm
Let's just praise Him together tonight. Let's worship Him. Praise Your name, Lord. Glory to God. Praise Your name, Lord. Praise His name. Praise Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just love being in His presence. I just, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like rejoicing in the Lord a little bit before we go. How many felt the effects of the Word in your life today? Thank You, Lord Jesus. Don't let the devil never take it away from you.
I praise You, Lord.
Thank the Lord. Just worship Him.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
There's a song in my heart. I told Dad the title, and it must be different in the book, I guess. So I can't find it in here. But it's just a little chorus. Can we bless that wonderful name of Jesus? I found it. It's 625 if you don't know it. But it's just a little chorus here. You got me a G. How many wants to bless that wonderful name? Amen. Let's sing it. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's no other name I know. Let's bless it tonight. Oh, yes, I'll bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, I'll bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of sense. I pray you understand. The devil can't take it ever away from you again. Amen. Thank the Lord. Well, Dad, you're going to have to pick some. I'm fresh out. So God bless you tonight. How many loves the Lord? Sister. Yes. Let's pray for cloth for the babies tonight. You want two? You want just one? Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
I pray the prayer of faith of this cloth may go and heal these two little babies for your glory, Lord, and give everyone comfort and strength. May you show up on the scene and prove greater than any of these trials. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Leave with all your heart.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Jesus, I'll never forget.
Dismissed. God bless you.
Done
for me.
Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. Oh, never come away within my soul.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God.